Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you Mythic Gaming. Before we begin our show, I have a quick review from our Olympian archives. And now for something completely different. What if you took the generic fantasy archetypes of gaming, dwarves, elves, halflings, and gnomes, for instance, and translated them into the mythic realms of ancient Greece? Incongruous as this sounds, Sword and Sorcery Studios pulled it off brilliantly in Olympus, the third volume of their Relics and Rituals series. In addition to the nuts and bolts necessities we've come to expect from D20 sourcebooks, new skills, feats, spells, themed items, and so forth, and Olympus generously delivers on these, this tome treats us to a series of mythic plausibilities that grant tremendous creative freedom to a DM planning a Hellenic campaign. You can actually come to see, merely by reading through this volume, how half-orcs and half-elves, far from being clunky transports, actually fit in quite well, I must add, into the holistic ecology of Greco-Roman fantasy. This volume doesn't provide a game world for you to adventure in, but it gives you enough of the elements and mechanics to create such a world for yourself and your players. In addition to humans, the fantasy races mentioned above, there are fauns, which are kin to satyrs, and spartans, descendants of the dragon-toothed warriors. New prestige classes included feral maenad, sacred huntress, master pancratist, and Promethean magos. There are 17 Olympian monsters in this tome, and though these are familiar beasties to gamers from other D&D and D20 offerings, Sword and Sorcery Studios has given each of them a unique twist or two to keep your players on their toes. My favorite portions of the sourcebook, besides those which masterfully Grecianized the Northern European fantasy races, were those which dealt with the mechanics of divine favor and divine wrath. I've definitely used Olympus in my mythical campaigns, and I look forward to finding new goodies to add to my current campaigns. Onwards to Tim Espy and Zach McAtee. Greetings and welcome, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed the Plains three-book set and DM screen.
Oh, yep.
Yeah,
that was a nice set that came out. And, it was really popular, too, actually.
Oh, that is fantastic. It delivered both more and less of what I was expecting. I was expecting them to get into the god realms and the demon realms of different world mythologies and also of D&D worlds that they've generated over the years. But instead, they gave you like cities that are kind of like on the border between Sigil and the outer planes, which was very interesting and very helpful. Because now you don't need to come up with such cities on your own. But it was missing, I guess they'll come out with dungeons, deities and demigods at some point.
Oh, yeah, I thought, interesting, okay.
So have you gotten any response from other people?
No, I haven't heard much else. Like I said, it was super popular when it came out. We had a bunch of people come pick it up, but I haven't heard much after that, actually.
They were saying in the YouTube videos I watched that they were planning on doing this all along, and people were disputing it, but I can see that. If you look from their earliest releases, any information that they provided over what's beyond that particular Earth fit in with the planescape, and I was wondering if that's what they were doing. They're going to make everything take place in the planes, and that is pretty much what they did, especially when they released the book on the etheric plane, and then the wild space, and then this one. They set up the planes really, really well and created an even better cosmogony than the one they had before.
Yeah, it seems like they're always expanding and changing and morphing and trying to do new and different things, which, you know, well, I guess that's why it's been going on for as long as it's been going on for.
Do you think you're going to follow the example of what they did with Magic the Gathering and start including other properties in with the releases, like making game worlds for like Lord of the Rings in D&D or something?
You know, that's interesting. I haven't thought much about that. The new Magic set does have a crossover too, which we'll talk about and at some point later. But yeah, I wonder how that would work with D&D. Because some of their IPs, I think there's some, you know, RPG-like things that have been made already for them. You know, Warhammer obviously has its own kind of pseudo RPG and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting, though. Yeah.
Zach, would you pick up a D&D devoted to Lord of the Rings? I know you're a Lord of the Rings, you're a ringer.
I'm not sure if they'd even be able to do one. I know that Free League, the company that does the One Ring RPG, which is the one I play, they did also release the same exact books, essentially, but converted for use with the 5e, with the OSR license. So you can already play it based off of D&D 5th edition. So I'm not sure like how that would work licensing-wise, if they'd be able to print their own books since like the other companies doing it with the OSR. I'm not sure how that would work.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And if they can't do Lord of the Rings, but there is a mechanism to play 5B with the current game company, I guess we'll see what other IPs they pick up and whether eventually there too, you could have Godzilla versus Super Mario or Pokemon.
Yeah, I was gonna say it gives it an easier chance to be able to like become a D&D thing. Like the new Magic set has the crossover is Jurassic Park, you know. So I think that would work well for an RPG if it already isn't one already. Honestly, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't one. But.
The fact that you combine them is really interesting too. You can create your own multiverse where, you know, pretty much anything is possible, you know, and your imagination is limited by the variety of things. And there's like an endless variety of things you can weave together into a gaming experience.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, what else is coming out? Any other role-playing games coming out in the very near future?
Yeah, so there was supposed to be a new, it was like a Book of Many Things expansion that was supposed to come out, but I think it was supposed to come out last Tuesday, but it got delayed, and I spoke with one of my sales reps on Monday. And asked them, like, saying, hey, like, is there a new date yet or anything for it? And he said that even he hasn't heard anything because we have had people asking about that because we're hoping at least we can get it for Christmas time. You know, that would make a good gift. But we haven't heard anything yet, so we'll see. But, yeah, I think he said it was the Book of Many Things, I think is what this one was called.
And it has a card deck too. I heard with it a deck of many things, and it has a book too, and they come together in a set.
Right. Yeah. So maybe that's what this one is. I know that we have some coming, and yeah, that's what this one was supposed to be. Oh, wow, it was supposed to be last month. Oh no, you get early access with it. It says you get early access last month with it.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but yeah, it was supposed to come out last Tuesday, but due to manufacturing issues, has a delayed release date and no update as the date yet, even on their website too. So, yeah, it was the Deck of Many Things and came with the digital copy of it as well, and then the physical book and deck and everything.
Were you aware that Wizards of the Coast produced a tarot deck?
No, I was not. But like for spells and everything, or for tarot?
No, for tarot. You can play.
Oh,
you can have
D&D
tarot, and in the book there's an explanation of how you can use it in your game. Like each card is like a. figure like each card is an entry in a table that you would roll, like an encounter table.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a different type of circumstance. They're not intuitive. The characters are supposed to come from the Forgotten Realms, but either I'm really, 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 really behind my Forgotten Realms, or I just couldn't make out who the characters were. I tried looking for familiar ones to me, but I couldn't locate them.
Mm-hmm.
And do you happen to know, is it the same thing as the Taraka deck that they have?
No, it's not that Taraka. If you'll wait 1 second, I have it in my closet. I will pluck it out, and I can answer your questions. And we'll go to Zach. Zach, anything that you know about with role-playing games?
The only new thing that I can think of at the moment, it depends on how you judge new. So speaking of Free League and the One Ring, they have recently done a Kickstarter for the next source book for the game, which is going to be Moria. So we're finally going to be able to explore inside of Moria and possibly run into the Balrog and see what else is down there. Should be very, very fun. A lot of people are excited for it. I think they just finished putting out the emails to confirm addresses and things of that nature. So hopefully we should be getting that, I think, in the first quarter of next year. And one of the particularly cool things that I'm excited about is they started with the first reprint in this system, making huge cloth maps. So have one of the Shire, and I think it's like 5 by 4 foot, I think. It's very big. So I don't even actually have any way to display it yet, but they have one for this set that will be Moria. And so it's like a side view isometric like map of Moria and its various tunnels and caves and stuff like that. So it looks very cool.
That sounds really great. And especially if you're into a particular location, I used to be into the Hyborian world of Robert E. Howard, where Conan the Barbarian adventures, and also Icewind Dale in the Forgotten Realms. And I used to get like any map that came out, any book that came out, any gaming products that came out. I loved immersing myself in those worlds. I got it from the closet. It's called the Dungeons & Dragons Tarot Deck, a 78-card deck and guidebook. And there are like some knockout versions of this that I've seen also, but the knockout versions don't have the manual, and this has, I believe, sturdier card stock. It's a beautiful tarot deck. Peer into the vast multiverse with this official Dungeons & Dragons tarot deck. 78 tarot cards, a fully illustrated guidebook, and new original artwork featuring the traditional major and minor arcana cards illuminated with iconic characters from the Forgotten Realms, along with an... tips on using the deck to bring dynamism to your D&D campaigns. The Dungeons & Dragons Tarot deck will speak to all future seekers, be they tarot novices or psychic wizards.
Is it something that came out? Like, is it something that's older or?
No, it came out. I actually saw it, believe it or not, in Target.
It was
on sale. So I figured, okay, I never heard of this, and I never thought to see something like this. And I thought it was originally going to be something like the Deck of Many Things, since before the Deck of Many Things was announced. I thought it was going to be something like that, but it wasn't. It was an actual Target. They changed the name of... the suits, but there's still the four suits in the minor arcana and then the major arcana cards. And symbolically, the pictures are evocative of what the cards mean. But again, I couldn't recognize the characters I was familiar with from the Forgotten Realms in the cards.
That's cool, though. Yeah, I'll see if I can find that.
And how about... cards, aside from magic cards, are there any other, like, are there any Pokemon cards or any other card games coming out?
I think the new Pokemon set had already come out since we last talked. There's something that's coming out in January, but that'll be in the future at some point. But there's a little bit of hype around that, but there's not too much stuff announced about it yet. But the big thing that came out was the Magic set, and then with the crossover with Jurassic Park, actually. I'm not sure, Zach. I think that you've seen in the Discord, Scott has been posting some stuff, right?
Yeah, I've seen he's been posting a few things, and a couple other people I follow have been I like the one Scott posted today where they made the T-Rex and the Spinosaurus, but they based them off the opposite dinosaur from the actual card game.
But yeah, so the that new set has been selling well, and people have been liking that one a lot. They did a dinosaur themed pre-constructed deck that was very, very popular. People were very excited for that one. There was also a vampire one and a pirate one, and then also a merfolk one, which is a fan favorite as well. Because the plane that they're on is called Ixalan.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I think we've talked about it in the past, possibly, but it's like kind of like, I'll just say like a Mayan or like Aztec or like that kind of theming stuff and with dinosaurs and everything. But there's also vampires and merfolks and pirates that are on the plane as well. So it makes for an interesting and fun crossover, a bunch of crazy stuff going on. But with the Jurassic Park one, there's some special cards that tie right into Jurassic Park with characters from it, like Ian Malcolm and Ellie and Alan and everybody.
Very cool.
There's also the raptor that is in the newer ones. So there's also a card for that one. It's been exciting. This has been a really well received set, which has been nice. So it's been fun.
I think that Ixalan used to be a box set years ago. There was a box set called Journey to Ixalan, and it took place on I believe like an inner Earth type of thing, like a hollow Earth. Type of place with like a sun in the middle, and there were all these ancient cultures, including the Greco-Roman, which is why I got into it. I think I might have those somewhere in a box or on the shelf still. And it tied into Mystara, which was an earlier version of the Spelljammer. They had like these ships that flew in the air, and those I ran across not too long ago when I was putting together campaigns for the Spelljammer.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's Mesoamerican was the word that I was looking for.
Yeah, they have Mesoamerican and Egyptian. They had all sorts of cultures existing in this inner earth. And they had pantheons that were based on the mythical characters from not only D&D, but also from the earth's pantheons. But they weren't the same as the pantheons that a student of mythology would grow up with. They were arranged quite differently. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, the worlds that they build and in Magic too, even though it's quote just cards, but there's still expansive stories and everything that tie all the stuff together, and then cards that go along with it. So it's fun. You can see the story in the cards as well if you know where to look and what to look for. So there's cool little Easter eggs and everything.
That sounds really exciting. Zach, how about you? Any card games that you've stumbled across or experimented with?
So we didn't start playing it yet. We need to find a good watch it, the played video to learn how. But Jamie actually recently picked up a box of the Lorcana card game that recently came out, the Disney-themed card game. And she ended up pulling a $500-$700 card in the box.
Oh, wow.
It was a very nice surprise.
She got the most expensive one in the whole set.
Oh, that is awesome. And what's Lorcana about?
So we haven't gotten to go through it too in depth yet, but I know that as opposed to things like, say, Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh, where you're directly attacking an opponent's life total, I believe, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, that the win condition is collecting enough lore points. And so you're So you're focusing on trying to generate those and then protect your cards that generate them, because people can attack your cards. But so there isn't an HP factor, though. It's you're trying to build something up as opposed to take something down.
I've been experimenting with card games of all sorts, too. I looked into Werewolf and its many incarnations. And unfortunately, I don't think I'd be able to pull together a Werewolf game at this particular point in time, because we have really busy schedules. And most of the people we know that come to things come to the paranormal meetings and the UFO meetings. I'm just reviewing them on my own. And also, I like the idea presented in the Dungeons & Dragons tarot deck, although I can't see myself using those cards either in the type of games that I do run. So I started looking at card games and the cards that they have in them and then repurposing them where they, when you roll a dice and on the counter table. I would be using drawing cards from a particular card deck, a themed card deck, to take the place of rolling on an encounter table. So it'd be they'd be shuffled and stuff, so it'd be random. So I'm trying to figure out new ways of sprucing up the games that I run. So that was one of them. It may succeed, it may fail. I don't know till I try it. So I'm just about ready to try it soon.
Yeah, no, that seems like a great idea. I was just a couple Sundays ago, I was using dice to build a character with a character sheet just like that. So it would be, using cards would just be another way to randomize it and get different results and everything.
And some of the cards on the card games have really, really great graphics, too, so they're very evocative. I found one called the Grimwood. And the Grimwood has really interesting art. It's kind of gothic-y, and it takes place in in the woods. The Grimwood, you might be a bounty hunter looking for fame and fortune. You might be a peasant looking to feed the starving family. You might be a maiden running away from her arranged marriage, or just a random dude who's gotten lost. Whoever you are, you've ended up in the Grimwood, a forest where supernatural creatures reside. Search the forest and compete with other players to collect the most supernaturals, hunt the most birds, or see the the most places. You usually get something from the Grimwood. You just want the most somethings. So again, the mechanics of the game, for what it is, I don't think I'd enjoy playing it, although it sounded interesting, but I could use the pictures in my random forest encounters deck. So that's the first one I'm trying out, because they have Amazons in there, they have centaurs, they have owls, they have crows, they have all sorts of the fae and immortals. So I could definitely create a deck that corresponds to the place that I'm imagining a magical forest to be. And then I ordered some other tarot cards and oracle cards and other games that have to do with forests to see what else I can create, so that each forest experience that they have in a particular nation, let's say, is very different from someplace else.
Yeah. It's kind of so when I buy board games for the store, a lot of the times I'm buying it based on the little minis or the little figures or accessories that come in the game. Because I'm there's a cool little animal that's, a weird animal that you don't normally see, you know, in those kind of things, or a cool little pawn piece that's a cool shape or a cool color. So a lot of the times I'll buy the board games just based on that, because at the end of the day, you get a cool, you know, thing. There's one that, you know, we have that has camels in it with a bunch of different colors. There's one that has like a cart that's drawn by an ox, you know, that actually works. So, you know, just cool little things like that, that, you know, maybe you don't even, the game is fine, but you want to use it for the little figures or whatever's inside.
I'm the exact same way. I'll purchase something, not for the purpose that it was intended, although I might experiment with that, but I can use it in other context, and especially with figures. Sometimes it's cheaper to buy a board game with like a million miniatures in it, that if you paid for the miniatures separately, they'd be phenomenally prohibitive. But if they're part of the game, then you could repaint them or not, you know, depending on what you want to do. But you could use them in whatever scenario you're putting together. I have tons of games that have cannibalized for pieces, too.
Yep. That's exactly right. Like, oh, the board game is $35, but it comes with all these minis. Like,
yes.
Finding these minis would and the time to find it and everything. Like, oh, my God. But,
I was in an army near you not too long ago, and there was a Lord of the Rings miniature game thing, but we were in a hurry, and the line was really long, and so I didn't pick it up. I think it was like $5, and there were like over 70 miniatures in it. And then I regretted that, but by the time we came back, it was gone. So we scarfed that up.
Exactly.
So we got role-playing games, we got card games, we started talking about board games. Any new board games coming out or that you've experimented with?
So I've gotten a couple new ones recently. I have one that I've mentioned before, that I'm starting up a game of Legend of the Five Rings. So they also have, at the moment, just one board game in universe, but they have two more coming out, I think, next year. But so it's fitting to the theme. It's kind of like an area control, like you each start as one of the different clans. Each turn, you have tokens indicating, say, okay, well, I'm going to attack a province that neighbors where I put this token, or defend my province from one of the ones nearby, or I'm going to put this down, and this is a blank token, but I'm trying to bluff someone into thinking I'm attacking them. Everyone puts down, I think it's three or four, depending on the number of players, and then once everyone's done so, you flip them all face up and resolve them, and you go X rounds, and then whoever has the most points at the end wins. But it was surprisingly streamlined, because I've played a lot of other similar games. The Game of Thrones board game, for example, is a very involved, like you're the different families fighting for control of the country kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a much quicker, much more fun version, because there's virtually no randomness. Everyone has the same exact set of tokens, except each clan gets one token that the other ones don't. So, for example, the Scorpion clan, who are known for having ninjas and assassins, they have a ninja token that's 1 point higher than anybody else's, whereas a different clan might have an attack that's higher than anybody else's. And then other than that, like every clan plays the same and starts with like the same kind of space on the board, so it's fairly even. There isn't any diplomacy aspects, like you could, above the table, you could say, oh, I won't attack you if you don't attack me, that kind of stuff, but there's no multi-winner state, so someone has to betray someone at some point. But we played through that, I think, two or three times, and that's been fun so far. We did it with, two times, because we did it once with two players, and then once again with five, which is the maximum player count. So we did the smallest and the maximum player count, and it was fun at both. I was surprised how fun it was at two players, because usually bigger area control games like that are kind of meant for huge player groups, and they don't usually do as well. But I think our point difference at the end between Jamie and I was only like 2 or 3 points. It was a very,
wow,
very close game.
Wow. And how about the other game?
So this one, I don't know if I've told you about it, Tim, and you might have seen it when you've been ordering stuff. It's a game called Heat. So it harkens back to older days of car racing. So like before Formula One, before NASCAR, like when you picture in your head the old-fashioned like Italian car race where they're like racing mm-hmm. through the streets and stuff like that. Like, you know, but like the older cars that are kind of like, yeah. if you crash, you're probably dead. Like that kind of car.
Right. The cigar shape.
And
kind
so,
of.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. They're like, it's like your car mm-hmm. is a tube. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a hand management game and it has two modes. I've only played the one so far because the one of them is like a multi-game tournament type of thing where after each game you get points that you can spend to add cards to your deck, that kind of thing. So we haven't tried that, but we've done the basic game, I think, once or twice. But the idea is you all start again with the same deck. This time there is no variance. And it gets shuffled. You draw, I think it's 7. And then that's your hand. And on your turn, every card you play will have a number that will be how many spaces forward you move on the track. The problem is that every time there's a corner will have a speed limit sign, which means if you have crossed that line past that corner and the total number of cards that you've played sums up bigger than that speed limit, your car is taking damage. And so you're going to be putting cards that are dead draws into your deck, and they're going to start flooding up your deck. So you'll have these turns where like, well, now I don't move at all because I took a bunch of corners way too fast, and now I got a hand of useless cards, and I literally can't move. And so it's got this like push your luck aspect where you start with, I think, one of them in your deck, but you can, as part of the damage, take a card that says, okay, this card has no value, but flip your deck until you get a card that does and add that to your movement for the turn, which could be really good. Or it could be absolutely terrible. And so it was very fun seeing how hard people pushed at different points. Our friends Kyle and Donald, both chanting all gas, no brakes, just kept going mm-hmm. as fast as possible. And they didn't like care about taking the damage and everything. And they started to slow down about like 3/4 of the way through the first of the 2 laps, but by that point they had such a lead that we just could not catch up to them. but it came with, I think, 4 different tracks. So it's got 2 very large unfolding boards that are double-sided. We did the USA track as the basic one, but then they have France, Italy, and I cannot remember where the 4th one is. It might be Germany. But like each one has a varying number of curves. They have curves with different values. So the American one, which we did as the introductory track, I think only had, I want to say 4 curves. And they varied. Like the first one was like, oh, you could go through this at a speed of 7. And the cards in your hand range in value from 1 to 5. So you're probably going to be able to do that. But then the curves towards the end of the track are, you need to go through here at a speed of 2. they're much tighter curves, but it gives you that like introductory, oh, okay, so the first half of the track, I can kind of learn how to do this. And then when I get close to the finish line is when I have to test what I've learned.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I have some pictures pulled up.
Now, you guys have brought up Discord today and other times as well. I've never been on Discord. What is Discord all about? Like, generally, I have an idea, but I'm not really sure what it is.
Go ahead, Zach. I'm trying to think.
I was going to say, are you familiar with Skype or Ventrilo?
I'm familiar with Skype. I haven't used Skype in several years, but before Zoom, I used to use Skype.
So Discord is very similar to Skype, except instead of like large chat rooms that are set up by people with like clarifications or whatever, with Discord, it's just anybody can make their own server and you can add your friends to it. And it's kind of like a miniature forum but you can also use it for voice and video call. So you could, like, I have some friends that they'll just go on stream when they're playing games, and if people want to just jump into the chat and talk with them and hang out, like, they'll do that. Some of them are for RPG groups. I'm in several for, like, here's one for Legend of the Five Rings, here's one for Pokemon, here's one for this. It can be a very good resource for finding communities to play with. Is actually how I found the people that I play the One Ring with, who I have at this point been friends with and playing with since, I think 2021, the summer of 2021. And now we play a whole bunch of different games together and stuff like that. So it can be very useful, especially in this age we're in, where now digital gaming is so accessible. It's a very useful tool to meet other people. And even if you're just not trying to play, but like say, hey, I had this idea for a scenario, like maybe can I workshop this with somebody, see what you guys think of it. There's a lot of good resources.
So is it like roll 20 type of thing also, where you can put graphics, or is it theater of the mind through conversation, or do you keep a camera on your board and play it that way? Can you do all of these things? Or
yeah, you can do all of those. You can post pictures in the little like forum/chat room thing. You can stream video. There's people that make like plugins or like bots for each server, where you can type stuff into the chat like /roll, and then it'll roll a d20 or something like that through text, mm-hmm. like it used to, you know, back in the AIM days and IRC chat and stuff like that. So there's magic ones. I'm in hockey discords. If you can think of it, there's a community for it and a Discord for it.
I'm interested in checking that out. I will check that out sometime this weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, like we have one for the store that we don't use too much. We're still doing some stuff, but you know, a bunch of stores have their own, so people can talk amongst themselves in there. And arrange, games together and everything. So it's a great resource to use for sure.
And it doesn't have to be
yeah.
for games, right? It could be for any topic. Like I could set up a
yeah.
UFO thing there, or Greek mythology
yeah.
thing.
Oh, or... There's countless already, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm in one that it's just
right
people
in.
Who like birds. And it's just like, hey, I'm posting pictures of birds I found in my yard. Can anybody tell me what this is? Like, I'm in a Discord just for that. So I'm
oh,
sure
wow.
you can find one on a topic like that.
Yeah.
And you can start your own thing as well.
And,
like in Facebook, you can create groups or pages or, you know, a number of different things where people can, who are interested, can communicate with you. Is that the same?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, it sounds
yeah, yeah. It would be perfect for what you do.
Oh, that is great, because I'm spending 2024 focusing on the cosmic stuff, like
mm-hmm.
the astro mythology and mythic astronomy and all that different stuff. I'll be focusing very heavily on that. I'll still be doing the other things as well. But I'll be really focusing on that throughout the year. So I was thinking of, I got something up and running on Facebook, but I want to like try to spread this to other places. I tried for a year on LinkedIn for my podcast and things like that. And although it was good, it didn't really, I couldn't gauge any result if I did it or if I didn't do it. So I let that go for a while.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the Discord community is more active with this kind of stuff. So like I said, you would do, it would fit your needs well, I would think.
I will definitely check it out then. Any other types of games, computer games, video games?
Yeah, there's, one thing that I wanted to talk about real quick. So one of my favorite games that I played through and one of Zach's favorite games that he's played through as well is a game called Alan Wake. Like a psychological, it's a whole crazy story and everything. The first one came out years ago. I think it was
13 years ago.
Like 13 years ago, right? Because it's part of the story. So the new one just came out a couple of weeks ago, if not a week ago or so. I've been playing. That's what I've been doing all day today, was playing that. so I ended up getting it this morning. So I have like 5 hours into it or so today. And we'll be playing it for the extended weekend. So Zach, you definitely have to play it.
Yeah.
It's been incredible so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one thing I want to talk about too.
It's a very good example for that. Yeah.
How exactly does a psychological game?
Zach, you might know the lore a little bit more deeper, but it's the storytellers and the people that write these games are very, very talented, and they're wild.
Yeah, so the first game, and I guess we need to say spoilers just in case for people who haven't played it. This will touch on like plot stuff from the game. So the concept is a famous like crime thriller novelist has been stuck with writer's block for a bit. There's a lot of pressure on him to get something published, but he's just stuck in a rut. He can't get out of it. So his wife books for them to go on a vacation to like a small wooded town, like up in the middle of the Pacific Northwest, away from all the big city stuff. And he thinks it's to kind of veg and like calm and kind of get back to himself. But the reason that she picked this spot is because there's a retreat for creative people having issues. And so they're staying at a cabin in Cauldron Lake, at Bird Lake Cabin, which is a reference to Baba Yaga. And after they have an argument about this, she goes missing and he blacks out. And so he wakes up, I think it's like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, behind the wheel of a crashed car in the middle of a forest, and has no idea what's happened, has no idea where he's been, where his wife is. And then as he's wandering through the forest, he finds a page from a manuscript that he hasn't written, but it's very clearly something he wrote. And it like gives hints about things that are coming around the corner. And then so sure enough, like the enemy that it described runs into him, and he has to fight this thing off and survive this thing. And so it gets very, very deep into the idea of the chicken and the egg is a big aspect. We got like which thing came first. There's a lot of how works influence other works. They touch very strongly on the idea that art and creative like forms of entertainment can and do change the world. And in this case, particularly literally, as the like main sort of evil force basically feeds off of these creative types to make itself stronger by, like in Alan's case, it's trying to make him write a story where it breaks free. But in the past, there were musicians who stayed there. There was a poet who stayed there. And like they have this whole, like the lore goes back and back and back, you know, fantastic game. Like I'm sure you can get it very affordably now because it's 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And they did a remaster.
Yeah. It was a remaster.
2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that like right now that's on the Switch for like $20-$25. So I'm sure that you can find it for a really good price. Definitely, if you like story-heavy games, and like I'm not a big shooter person, and it is technically it's a shooter, you know, like that's kind of like the core, like basic mechanic of it and everything. But like it is, as Tim said, it's one of, if not my favorite video game ever.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's really incredible, and the second one has been super good. I'm not gonna say too much about it, so I don't spoil really anything. Mm-hmm. But the main, I'm going to use like a cheap word here, but like gimmick behind it is that the enemies are, you know, this kind of like darkness presence kind of thing where you use your flashlight and you like supercharge your flashlight at them and it kind of like pops their darkness, and then you can use your gun to dispatch them after that. So that's kind of the shooter gameplay loop of it. But this one, you know, you still do that in this, but there's a lot more of like a detective element to it. Mm-hmm. And where it's a whole subsection of the game is like quite literally, you know, it's the case board, you know, of the red string connecting stuff together. So you're piecing this puzzle together of starting to figure out what is going on and everything. So there was just a huge plot development that just happened. And I had to stop for dinner, but yeah, so the huge plot thing just happened, and it's been, yeah, this has been incredible so far. I can see why it's been nominated for, it's one of the nominees for Game of the Year for the upcoming awards and everything, and I can certainly see why already, and I'm only 5 hours into it, and I'm taking my time to do everything because this game studio, Remedy Studios, they do a lot of like little side missions and side quests and everything that are fun little puzzles. So for me, like Zach said, like I do like shooters, but this kind of game, I like the story aspect of it. So right in the beginning, you choose your difficulty, and you know, there's hard and normal, but then there's also one that's just called story. So that's the one that I chose, where it makes the enemies much easier, where they only take, you know, one or two shots to kill, and your resources don't deplete as fast and everything. So it's nice where, like I said, I just want to play through the story and experience some cool stuff, and it's exactly what I've been getting so far. So it's been great, and like I said, Zach, like, you definitely have to play it soon.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds really different. Do you remember the 3DO system?
Yeah, I was just talking about it with my friend yesterday, actually.
I used to have the 3DO, and I really loved the 3DO. I'm very saddened that I got rid of it when things stopped coming out for it. But that had a few psychological games in there, too, where you weren't really sure how much of it was in the person's head and how much of it wasn't, and you had to find out through the story and by doing different things and by talking to different people, and it wasn't ever like quite clear, and sometimes there were actually alternate endings, so it could go one way, it could go another way. And I used to enjoy playing those games quite a lot. They were very different.
Yeah. So it's similar to this, where you know they're always kind of keeping you guessing as to what's going on. Stuff's always changing and plot developing. Like, oh, wow, okay, like, I actually wasn't expecting that. Like, okay. And some weird characters and everything. The company, I think they're Finnish-based, right, from Finland, I think, Zach?
I think it's Finland, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where they also, what is it, Old Gods of Asgard? They're in mm-hmm. it quite a lot, actually, Zach.
Yeah, I heard that they have a much bigger, like, story presence in this one.
Yeah, yep, they do. Yeah, so Remedy is from Finland, and so Old Gods is as well. But yeah, they're, what Remedy does as well, that is pretty cool. They do, like, live action stuff, so you're actually watching, you know, people acting, and it's like almost like a TV show or a movie in parts of it, so that's no different in this. And it ties into the game really well, actually. They're doing some really interesting stuff with the live action into video game aspect of it.
Can you PM me a link to that? Or you could email it if you like, you know, whatever is easier.
Yep.
And I will definitely check that out. That sounds intriguing. And I was in the field of psychiatric rehabilitation for many years. I've worked in psychiatric hospitals, inpatient programs and outpatient programs. So I love studying the mind. I meditate. I work on my dreams. I do all sorts of stuff. So that sounds like something mm-hmm. that would be up my alley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a big part of what Remedy has in all of their video games and all of their stories. They touch on some heavy stuff sometimes, and it's interesting to see where they take it. And their storytelling and the screenplays and everything, and the acting has been great. It's all been very, very good so far.
And it's something. Sorry, I was just going to say something that you would appreciate about the first one and all the other games Remedy has done is they will hide TV episodes for fake TV shows in the game that are live action. So, like in the first game, you find what's essentially like old-fashioned Twilight Zone episodes, and they like film it like it's a like college film thing where it's like really grainy and tiny, and you can't even like make it full screen. Your character mm-hmm. finds a TV playing it, and you have to just kind of like angle the camera so that you can watch it on the TV that's sized for him. You know,
you have to watch it that way. It's the same for this too. Like the first one that I ran across so far was some weird like hunting like commercial. Like I was just like a really weird, cheeky. Like fake hunting commercial on one of the TVs that I watched for a little bit. but you find old Gods of Asgard tapes that you can play on your radio in this one specific area as well. So really cool collectibles. The graphics are like the reason why I didn't play it like right when it first came out, because I was almost going to build a new computer so I can play it. But the new computer that I was going to build was going to be way, 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 way too expensive. So today I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy it and play it. And like my settings on it are pretty low, and the game still looks beautiful. It's amazing. So what they're doing with the new games is still, it still makes you say, wow, okay, it does look. They are still improving stuff and. It can look better, and this one, it really does look great.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm looking at the time. We're running out of time, and I'd like you guys to promote what you're doing, and I have something to add when you're done. Tim, what is new and exciting or coming soon at Level 1 Games?
So this is a good timing for the week, too, because we're doing a Black Friday sale for the entire week. Over at Level 1 Games. So like Zach, we're doing like, I think it's 25% off board games. So if there was a couple things that you wanted to see, that you've been looking at, so that's 25% off that. Special magic stuff is on sale. We're going to do a special Pokemon thing for the weekend to put on sale a bunch of, sealed Pokemon stuff that people are excited about. Yeah, so we got a bunch of stuff going on at the store for the week. It's really going to start picking up now that we're coming towards the end of November and getting into December and everything. So it'll be exciting, and it'll be a busy time and everything. So it'll be a good, busy holiday season. So everybody's excited, and we're ready to get going. The store is stocked full of stuff, and more stuff keeps coming, and we got a big backlog of stuff that we got to get through, so we're busy, which is good. So can't complain.
And how can people find the store? I put a link to your Facebook page on the promo.
Yep, the Facebook and Instagram is Level 1 Game Store or L1G Store. I think you can search up too, but those are the best places. Whenever we get new trade-ins, like I said, we're getting stuff every day. And even now, a lot of the stuff I haven't even been posting a lot of the times now because it's just been so busy. But I try to post a bunch of stuff that we get on the Facebook and Instagram, and that's the best way to see what's going on. Then we post our the schedule and everything and what sales and stuff are going on. That's the best way to see it as well.
Thank you very much. And Zach, how can people get in touch with you and explore all the wonderful things on your gaming table that are going on?
So you can always find me on Facebook, or you can send me an email at mrmunnin@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. And is anything new and exciting coming to your table?
The Legend of the Five Rings game does have a date. We are going to be starting in January. So once that gets going, I'll be able to update you on how the samurai drama is playing out.
This will be fun.
Very cool. I look forward to that. And I have to share that finally, after a long time of talking about this and several false attempts, we're starting our Greek mythology and popular culture type of thing. We're interacting with Starfleet groups in New York, New Jersey, and Florida so far, and Pennsylvania. So we have a wide area. We'll be interacting through a podcast, and also I'll be doing something. If I can figure out Discord, I'll do it on Discord. If not, I'll do it on Facebook, because I've done play-by-Facebook games before. So it'll be role-playing. It'll be live-action role-playing at the science fiction conventions, and it'll be tied to interesting information that'll be very well researched, and also some cause. We're still playing with what cause we're going to support, but that's very much in line with what the Starfleet groups do. Originally, this started in the 70s in a role-playing game that was like, what if the Hercules from Marvel Comics was tasked by Zeus to find out what happened to Apollo from Star Trek, the original series. So that's how it started, and it's had numerous incarnations, and it's gone on for years, then it stopped for years, and then recontinued for years. So it's like an ongoing thing. So that's open again, and I will be making a flyer, so I'll bring it to the store next time I'm in the area. And I finished
the flyer. Yes, definitely. Please. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. I enjoy these conversations. I wish there was more time, but we are going to be doing a podcast that will deal with DMing. We've talked about that in the past, too, so I've got that down for 2024, so we'll talk about that again, and you guys are the first people I'm inviting to that. So I'm looking forward to going on that adventure as well as this one.
Excellent. Yep, sounds good. Definitely.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones, and to our wonderful audience, happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully I'll be able to drop by the store this weekend, but it might not happen, but hopefully it will, but it'll happen soon.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully if not, then we will see you soon. Definitely.
Okay. Be well, both of you.
Right. Same to you.
Thank you so much. Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.